Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. I am Jeff Phelps. My buddy is Andy Baskin, and joining us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, gentlemen who we're thrilled to have with us. You know him as the guy who came up with the greatest show on turf, the great St. Louis Rams offenses led by Kurt Warner, and Marshall Faulk was out there, Isaac Bruce. They had some offensive talent, and Mike Martz knew what to do with it. He is the co-host of Run It Again podcast with Ron Pitts, son of former NFL great Elijah Pitts, by the way, a Green Bay Packer. Mike Martz is joining us. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Coach.
Hi, guys. Hey, thanks for having me on.
Well, we appreciate it very much. First of all, let me ask you about the podcast. Run It Again, hosted along with you, along with Ron Pitts, who has been an NFL announcer in the past. How much fun are you having with that, and what type of stuff are you doing?
Well, we're really looking forward to it. You know, Ron and I worked at Fox and did a lot of games there together, and just kind of kicking it around in the off hours, Ron came up with the idea of, you know, maybe a podcast where we get a chance to slow down and go into some things in detail and maybe a different look at things than what you hear and see on TV. So, you know, it's just going to be a different approach from a coach's and a player's perspective, maybe something different than what people are used to, and take it in depth. You know, so many times you've got to get so much information out there when you're on the air, as you guys know. You don't have the opportunity to slow down and really dissect something and enlighten somebody on potentially maybe this is what's really going on. So that's what we're going to do.
Coach, what are your thoughts on the draft overall coming up tomorrow night and the fact that, one, we're having it, and two, the world we live in now, wow, technically everyone's going to be all over the place?
Well, I think the draft itself, I don't think it's going to change a heck of a lot. Obviously, they're going to do this kind of a circus on TV, whatnot, but I'm not sure why they're trying to make money off it, obviously, but I don't know why they just don't do it the way they normally do it. There's just nobody there, but that's what they do, so that's how they're going to do it. But it's going to be complicated for them. I think the draft will come off like it always does. I don't think it's going to be retarded in any way because of not being able to get out to see these guys. I think everybody's researched it. I think that'll come out just fine. Where we go from here in the NFL is another question.
Where do we go from here? What do you think is going to happen, Coach?
Well, I think they're going to try and play the season, obviously, without anybody in the stands. I think that's fine, but the biggest issue would be, number one, you know, how do you test these guys every week and don't test other people? You know, these high paid athletes, there'll be a lot of complaining. That's a nightmare. But the other thing is, you know, to play in the same venue doesn't make much sense to me. I think baseball's thrown it around about, you know, putting them in a city and, you know, playing all the games in Arizona, for instance. You can probably do something along those lines in the NFL, but I think you've got to keep it contained somehow. Somebody breaks out with the virus on a team, maybe he's an offensive lineman, then what happens? You know, does that whole group go down? Maybe he played that Sunday. You know, the repercussions for it, is the risk worth it? I don't know. That's for everybody else to ponder, I guess. But it's I'm sure they'll try to play it. It'll be interesting to see how they do it.
Coach, the Browns are looking for a left tackle. And one of the things that was said along the way here is a tackle is a tackle. So if you're looking for a left tackle, does it matter if they played right or left in college, or maybe they split their time? And, you know, how do you look at that position?
Well, it's a different animal that plays left tackle in the NFL. You know, that's the premier position on the offense next to the quarterback, actually. You don't have to double guys. It's the quarterback's blind side. You can just kind of X that guy out over there like we did with Orlando Pace. That's very freeing in a lot of in a lot of ways. So that guy has got to be so athletic. It's just a different athlete. Right tackles are big, powerful guys that maybe don't quite have the foot quickness but are okay on the right side. But your best pass rushers are going to be on the backside over there, and you've got to have a guy that can match that athleticism. And remember now, these pass rushers these days, you know, they're anywhere from 245 to 270 pounds. They're not those big guys like they used to be, you know, the Bruce Smith guys. They're not those guys anymore. So they've got to be able to handle speed and athleticism and yet still put their hand on the ground and come off and hit him in the mouth. So that guy on the left side, that's a unique guy, and they are so hard to find.
Mike Martz is joining us, former head coach of the St. Louis Rams, won a Super Bowl as offensive coordinator in 99, went back to the Super Bowl as head coach. And Mike, when you ran that Rams offense, man, you guys lit it up. And you did a lot of things really, really well with Kurt Warner at quarterback. And I almost want to say, Mike, that that's when the entire trend to just start really opening up the offense has really started to kick in the NFL. Do you see that trend continuing, or is maybe the success of some of the teams that ran the ball so well this year changing anything? Or are they just like taking what you guys did and continuing to build it up in an even more wide open way?
So I think the natural reaction to throwing the ball a lot, as this league has started to do over the years, the natural reaction defensively, and most of what we did on offense was because of what the defenses were doing. They were playing so many eight-man fronts. They were saying, bet you can't throw it. So we did, you know, that kind of a deal. But today, you know, like we just got done talking about, they've got pass rushers, specialists on the outside that are 250 pounds, you know, and then the linebackers on the outside now are these linebackers / safety guys that are 225 pounds that can run like crazy. So the running game has kind of taken a back seat. Those teams now that are willing to put their hand in the ground, and because of the personnel mismatches up front physically and are patient with it, with a good back, can dominate the clock, keep the defense off the field, and yet get yourself in a position to score. And I think that there'll be a little bit of a trend that way. But the key to that is you got to have those guys up front. Of course, you got to have that runner. And there are enough good runners, I think, come out here in the last few years where I think you're going to probably see a little bit of a trend switch in the other direction as a reaction to defenses.
Coach, what are your thoughts on the Browns right now and just where they are with Kevin Stefanski and Baker Mayfield as a quarterback, and, you know, Odell's here. I mean, there's a lot of great, you know, Miles Garrett's here too. But just what are your thoughts on this team and the franchise right now?
Well, my thoughts are all Baker Mayfield. What I think of him, I loved him coming out. I just think he's such a special player. Not just the skill set, but his energy. You know, that energy is infectious. You got to have somebody in that group that's like that. The fact that it's a quarterback and he's that the energy and enthusiasm that he brings aside from his skill set is so important, so rare, and so hard to find. I love the guy. I think that he's going to be the marquee guy there for many years, hopefully. And as they settle in around him and give him more weapons and take a little bit of the load off of him and grind that ball at times, I don't care what you do on defense, they can develop into a real dominant offense.
Mike Martz is joining us, former head coach of the Rams. Mike, you mentioned you can see the offense is swinging back a little bit, perhaps, to take advantage of what the defenses are showing now. When you were with the Rams, you had great talent all the way around, but you had a guy in Marshall Faulk who, though he was good in Indianapolis, probably didn't show all that he could do until you got a hold of him. And in this day and age, you're seeing running backs, I think, undervalued maybe, and you can put anybody in and they seem to be working in certain systems. Is it going to come back to where you need that primo type of guy, Mike, where you guys had Marshall Faulk and you took advantage of him? The Browns have a guy like Nick Chubb, clearly one of the best running backs in the league right now. Because look what San Francisco did. They had a bunch of nondescript guys but ran the ball really, really well. What's the future there?
At offensive line, you know, you just got to make sure that you're consistent and good in the offensive line. We were really good in the offensive line. We were very dominant. But we had a guy from the World League over there. We had an undersized center that was a backup. Our right guard was from South Dakota State. our right tackle was a sixth-round pick, but we had Orlando Pace at left tackle. And they were good together. And that allowed us to do a lot of things. It allowed us to get Marshall out of the backfield and throw him the ball, move him, do all kinds of nice things with him. But people, when we lined up and played, the threat of Marshall was the first thing defenses would address. They're going to make sure that we weren't going to beat them with Marshall. Well, as long as they did that, we were going to throw for 400 yards. You know, that's just because we could. You know, by structure, they're going to put eight guys up there. You show the ball a little bit to Marshall, you come up, and you throw the ball over their head. So in the early going, it was kind of easy. Then as they became more aware and reticent to do that, then we changed gears. Once we got ahead of people, we knew they had to throw the football. We just turned around and started to hand the ball to Marshall. Now it's a catch-22 on defense. You know, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of thing. They don't know. Now they stack it in there and try and blitz you to get the ball back because you're behind, and you end up throwing him the ball out of the backfield, so he beats you both ways.
Coach, I'm just curious, on draft night, you know, whether you're the offensive coordinator or you're the head coach, what's your role there? I mean, is it hard to sit back some nights when you're an offensive coordinator, you're a head coach, and you look and you're like, oh boy, all right, we're putting all the trust of the franchise in the general manager or what? I mean, what's the perfect or what's the best scenario between? I mean, say, you know, you're Washington, St. Louis, Detroit, San Francisco. I mean, what was the best scenario for you as far as the way an organization should look on draft night?
Well, all 32 teams have a different thought about that. Everybody's okay. Different. Nobody, the general manager in some teams is strong, and other teams he's just kind of a hustle rant. So there's that whole role is just different. I think the coaches have all given their input to this point. Everybody's decided on the stack, and then any changes in the draft that's different, any surprises, they'll put their heads together and visit and talk about who they have to go to next if their guy's gone, that type of thing. The most comfortable I ever was when I was the head coach at the Rams and John Shaw would come in, our president, and he took all the publications and he had a formula. He weighted this formula and he could almost project the draft for every, it was the darndest thing I've ever seen. And it got so much respect for him for the way he did things. And he did it off of all those publications, and it was very accurate. So we could almost predict how it was going to come out in some respect. And he wasn't wrong very often. That was very enlightening, and that allowed us to project perhaps the guy that we wanted and thought would be there wouldn't be there. And if, for instance, we felt like we needed to take him the second round, he said, "Don't worry about it. He'll be there in the third round." And most of the time he was. So that was very refreshing to have somebody work that hard at and crunch the numbers and come up and predict that. And I think people probably do that now, but John wouldn't even tell me the formula. But it worked, and I have great respect for him. But that was easily the best.
Mike Martz is joining us, former head coach of the Rams, and also the former head coach of the San Diego entry in the Alliance of American Football. And, Mike, I got to tell you, I liked watching the Alliance. I liked watching the XFL for what it was. It's not the NFL. And being a part of one of the startup leagues that just recently took a shot at it, can you see a league having success as a second professional football league in our country? Is it ever going to stick? Is it ever going to take? The USFL came close back in the day, but what's it going to take for that to finally happen?
Well, the league this year folded because I think the virus thing. I think if they were allowed to keep going, I think they might have made it. I think number one, before everything, a startup league, you've got to be smart on how you spend your money. So many of these startup leagues, when they come in, they throw money at things that just don't matter, and a lot of money. And it's hard. It's very hard to watch. I think for any league to make it, the NFL's got to be involved to some extent. Whether they give them officials at cost so they can train them, or they help with venues, or there has to be some sort of cooperation, and to some extent, some financial cooperation. And thought that, hey, listen, we're going to give you our practice squad. Oh, open up the practice squad to you guys to pick from. That would help them. I think it's extremely necessary that this happens because, you know, the off season now is long gone with a collective bargaining agreement. You just don't develop these young players. And there's some guys that we had that came in that developed in the off season Kurt Warner would have never happened if we had not had him in the offseason. There's no way he's going to come into a camp and get a few snaps and do what he did. You know, he just absolutely, over that three-month period, absorbed everything. We went out and worked 4 days out of 5 days on the field of footwork, and, you know, those things can't happen anymore. So how many of those kinds of guys are you missing because you can't develop them? There's a big need for that league. Financially, it doesn't make sense to them, the owners, I'm sure, but from a football sense, it is totally necessary.
Mike, last thing, and based on what you said earlier about Orlando Pace, the former Ohio State Buckeye who you coached in St. Louis, and what you said about the offensive line play, you're the Browns, you're at number 10 on draft night, and one of those top four rated offensive tackles is on the board, and you need a left tackle. Is there any way you're not taking him?
No.
Okay.
No, it's just too important. You know, and they're too hard to find. You know, you can take a guy in the 6th, 8th, 10th pick, wherever, and still miss on a tackle. You know, good offensive tackles, the really good left ones, they just don't come along very often. You know, this kid from Louisville, he's so athletic, I'd make him a left tackle. I just don't see a lot of them. There's a lot in there, but how many of these guys can actually play left tackle? I keep looking at this and hearing guys talk about, well, yeah, Worf's is good, but he's really a guard. Well, then he's got no business being a left tackle, you know. Mekhi Becton, I think, has probably got the best chance. That big son of a gun, as athletic as he is, if he was there, I'd sure take him.
Mike, an absolute pleasure to have you with us. And again,
thank you very
Mike
much.
Martz,
appreciate your time.
Podcast you with Ron Pitts. Look for it. The Run It Again podcast with Mike Martz, former coach of the Rams, and Ron Pitts. Coach, thank you very much. Mike Martz, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.